1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we'll stop right there. Amen. This is the little thought a few minutes ago that the Lord gave me. Love letter. Now, some of you younger generation may not know what a love letter is. We live to a day where this is how we contact one another. And I can text you and you can text me and we can let each other know how we feel. When I was your age, we didn't have that. I was a little backward boy, and if I liked a little girl, I might take a piece of paper and a pencil, and I'd write, "Do you like me?" Check yes or no, and I got a lot of no's. And then as I got older, the most frightening thing that a teenage boy can do is to dial the family telephone and dad answer. And as I grew older, I dated different girls and things like that, and I think, I'm in love. This is it. And then the next thing you know, that was over with. There I was again. But I'd like to preach to you about a different kind of love. About a love letter. And you pray for us for a little while. And verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." You see, a love letter is to profess your feelings to somebody, to let them know that you value them, to let them know that you care about them, that they matter to you, that you want to be with them, that you want to spend your time with them, that they are the one that you love. I want to preach to you about a real love letter. And we've heard of people that we'll keep those things for years and years, stowed away in the shoebox, out in the closet, and things like that. You know what happens over the course of time? They get gone. They wither. They change color, and eventually you'll toss those things. Or somebody will come through after you're gone, and they'll toss that stuff in an effort to clean things out. The love letter I want to preach to you about tonight, you can still hold in your hand. The love letter I want to preach to you about tonight, the fellow that wrote it, he still feels the same way after all this time. You know, we meet folks in this life and we think, well, they're our person. And over the years, you may get married and have a blessed life, and then over the years, either you change or that person changes, or there's things that come up in that relationship that cause friction and cause pain to the point of you saying, "I just can't anymore." And the person that you had placed all that trust in, that relationship is gone. But the author of this letter that I'm talking about never changes.
Amen.
He said it was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. As a matter of fact, he made this direct statement, I change not.
Amen.
And aren't you glad that he does it?
Right.
Amen.
Because Lord knows I've given plenty of reasons to not love me anymore. I have disappointed him over and over and over. I have let him down. I've refused to talk to him. I've refused to learn about him. I've refused to be in his presence. And still, his feelings for me have not changed. And still, he loves me. What a love letter that we've got. You pray for me for just a few minutes. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This is what it says over in John. And let's start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You think about that statement. We can't get to what he did for us yet until we realize how he felt about us. For God so loved the world. And when he looked on us and he seen Sodom and Gomorrah and he loved us anyway. When he looked on us in Noah's days and men's minds were continually on evil and he loved us anyway. When he looked on us and we were rejecting his only begotten son, we were spitting on him, we were beating him, we were drawing blood, we were hanging him between the heavens and the earth, and he loved us anyway. You talk about a love letter. You've never been loved like this. He saw all that. And he loved us anyway. For God so loved the world. What did he do? That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. Why was that necessary? We read over in Genesis. How we were nothing, how we were of no value, just a handful of dust. And God, do you believe God created the heavens and the earth?
Amen.
Let's cover the bases. Young folks, you need to hear this. God spoke this world into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I know science will say otherwise, but let's read the history book. Let's find out how it really was. God spoke it, and it happened.
Amen.
Now, let's stay in Genesis for just a minute. About the third chapter. He made the heavens and the earth. He made everything that we can see, hear, and smell. Everything we can touch. And then after he spoke it all into existence. Now listen, I see Ronnie and Don sitting back there. I see Philip and Becky sitting right here. I see Keith and Becky sitting right over there. We got couples everywhere. And I don't care if you've been married 3 days or 30 years, every once in a while, just to hold that person's hand feels good. Just to have them near you feels good.
Amen.
You know what God did after he spoke everything into existence? He put his hands on us.
Yeah.
He took the time to put his hands on us and to mold us and to make us into what we needed to be. What we need to be? In his image and in his likeness. And who messed that relationship up?
Wasn't it us? I believe it was us. Eve was tempted. You know this story. She partook of the forbidden fruit, and she gave to Adam, and he did eat, and death was pronounced upon mankind. It was us. It was our fault. And for thousands of years, we tried to make up for it. We tried to remedy the situations. We tried to make our way back to God. He even gave Moses 10 simple rules that if we would follow them, we might be all right. And guess what? We couldn't do it. We broke every one of them. And he knew we would. Did he not?
Amen.
He knew we would. And I'm going to preach it this way. This is how I know. When he put his hands on that dust, he turned to the sun and he said, "Let us make man." You see, the remedy for our sin, the plan was already in place from the foundation of the world. He knew from the moment he held the dust in his hands what it was going to take for man to be redeemed. It was standing right there with him, and he was willing. Listen, it wasn't happenstance that Jesus had to come and fix the situation. He didn't turn to Jesus and say, "Well, they messed up. We got to do something now." He knew already, and he loved us enough anyway when he formed us to have a remedy for redemption, for salvation, so that we wouldn't have to die lost, blackened with sin. Aren't you glad that you've got somebody that loves you that much?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Bless
you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God, with his great mercy that he loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
I believe you love your wife. And I believe if somebody intended harm toward her, I've never seen you angry. Maybe you folks have, I don't know. I've never seen this man angry. But I believe if somebody intended harm toward his wife, he might get a little riled up. He might get a little angry. He might even lay his life on the line to protect hers. Might. The fellow that authored your love letter did. He did.
Yes, he did.
Satan says, "Nobody loves you." He's lied to you.
Amen.
Somebody does love you. Enough to write you a letter and tell you so.
Amen.
Enough to lay his life down on the cross of Calvary. Let me tell you how much the author of this letter loves you. He left the splendor of heaven. He had angels that worshiped him eternally. He knew no sin. There was no death. There was no pain. He had nobody to say harsh. It hurts when people say harsh words toward you, doesn't it? He had nobody to say harsh words toward him. He had nobody to throw stones at him. He was in a perfect place. And angels adored him, and yet he left that place to be spit upon. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We just got past the Christmas season. You all know that he came to the inn, and the innkeeper said, "I've got no room for him." Things have not changed in spite of the fact that the Lord wrote this love letter to all of humanity. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces toward,
toward him. Let me preach this to you. Guess what? The world still rejects him even today. They want to make fun of us. Did you know that? If they show a preacher, they try to make him a fool. If they show the church, they want to make them hypocrites. They don't know what real church is. The real... Oh, I do. Because I'm part of it. The real church is the bride of Christ. And it is the recipient of this love letter.
Listen, Lord. Thank you.
He left heaven for us.
Praise the Lord.
He knew what he was coming to.
Yep.
If I believe it says the fowls of the air have nest, and yet the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Mm-hmm. The religious crowd despised him and tried their best to kill him. His own people didn't believe on him. But he loved them anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, Judas came and gave him a kiss. And the soldiers took him. Do you know Peter warned to resist that? And he knew. Did you know it? Read where he's over in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
How he prayed three times. You tell me. Well, he was the Son of God. He was flesh too. And he dreaded the cross.
Amen.
He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will. This is the hard part for us humans. Did you know that? Because we want what we want. But what I want, what God wants, is two different things a lot of the time. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, thus saith the Lord. And a lot of times, what God wants crosses the will of the flesh. It goes against it. For I believe, for the spirit, the Bible says the spirit is, for the flesh is enmity against the spirit. It's enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. And let me just preach this. I know people think that I'll see my mama just like she was when she left this world. No, you won't. She'll have a glorified body. And I believe this. She'll be known as a child of God.
Amen.
If she could remember this old ugly mug, then she might remember somebody that didn't make it. The Bible says all things are new. Mm-hmm. All right. Some of you didn't like it. I love you. All right. Love letter. You know what happened to Jesus. You know how they mistreated him. You know how they beat him. How they mocked him. How they nailed him to the tree. Thief on the cross on the left said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And the soldiers got down on their knees and said, hail, hail, King of the Jews. They made a mockery out of him. He knew they'd do that. Let me tell you, one of the hardest things to do for us is to go somewhere where we're not wanted.
Amen.
Guess what the author of this love letter did? He went somewhere where he was not wanted.
Amen.
And he did it because he loved me and you.
Amen.
What evidence do you have of that, preacher? Ephesians, I believe it is, chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Amen.
That he might present, well, that old bunch of hypocrites down there in that building, let me tell you what they are. That he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or blemish. Yes, this flesh will fail. Yes, I'll make mistakes, you'll make mistakes. But this flesh is not going to heaven. It's the soul of a man that goes. And when he sees us, he sees his bride. It's the apple of his eye. It's the one that he wrote the letter for.
Amen.
Amen.
The love letter. You remember what he said? Just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. These were his three words. It is finished. Do you know what was finished? The letter. The love letter. That's what was finished. Now, I've heard people want to argue, people want to debate. Oh, I can't read that King James Version. I just don't understand it. Well, maybe you need to pray. Does that sound unreasonable? In the book of James, I believe it's the first chapter, it tells us exactly what to do if we don't understand God's Word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I'm your pastor. I can't tell you that I understand everything. And if you'd be honest, you don't understand everything in there either. But I am not so dense that I've realized that book is about somebody that loves me.
Amen.
You see, he gave his life for me on Calvary. But that's not the end of the letter. He rose on the 3rd appointed morning. And you know what the fellow that loves me put in the letter? He said, because I live, ye can live also. Aren't you glad somebody loves you enough to give his life for you? Aren't you glad somebody, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you let him down, no matter how many times you disappoint him, his love doesn't change for you. Oh, listen, yours may be sitting at home drawing dust. This is the love letter right here. If you want to know how much the Lord loves you, open this book and it will speak to you personally. What will it say? God is love.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless him, Jesus.
Well, preacher, I've never seen Jesus. I wasn't there. I wasn't able to touch him. Handle me and see. Behold, I come in the volume of a book. Thus it is written of me. This is him. This is him that we can see with these two eyes. What happened after he rose, preacher? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away shall come again in like manner.
Amen.
What's he doing now, preacher? Is the letter finished? No, it's not. He's standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession when I mess up. He's saying what he said. You know what? Let me back up for a minute. You know how they treated the Savior, don't you? You know they nailed him to the cross. You know, they put the crown of thorns on him. They beat him, and his body was bruised and bloodied till it was almost unrecognizable.
And you know what he had to say about all those men that did all those things to him?
Forgive them.
He said, Father, forgive them.
Amen.
For they know not what they do. No greater love hath the man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I particularly like this part. It's about 3 verses down. He said, behold, I have called you my friend. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Upon the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend. And the chorus says, and I hope I live up to this. I'll be a friend to Jesus.
Amen, man.
Bless the Lord.
This is the love letter. What is that, preacher? Is that the green song book? No. This is the King James Version Bible.
That's right.
And I know people want to kick it. They want to talk about King James. Let me tell you how this love letter was written. It was written by divinely inspired men. And it was written no differently than this message that I've preached to you tonight. You know what I'm talking about. I can study. I can write. I can type. But when I get behind the stand, all that goes out the window. And if I preach, it's not my words. I'm nothing more than a little mouthpiece. If this man could not speak a word, but he wanted to get something across to the congregation, he might take a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the things he wanted to say. And then when he got ready, he'd reach that to me. And I'd take that paper and I would read what he had written so that you would know what he intended for you to say. This is no different. I'm just a mouthpiece.
Bless you, Lord.
This is what I was ordained to do. Mm-hmm. Preach the word. You know what Paul said? He was just going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. Friend, I'm afraid we've missed the point when it comes to religion. I'm afraid we've missed the point when it comes sometimes to being Christians. You know what the world wants us to do? You know what the media wants us to do? It wants us to get on TV and show our ignorance and say we're going to back this candidate or that candidate. You know where we need to be? On our knees praying for whoever it is. And let God guide us. And let God help us. Because Washington never will be at peace. There'll never be peace over in Israel and the Middle East and all that. They fought for centuries. But if they never have peace, if they never have joy, if they never have love in their heart, let me tell you what I can do. I can go back and open my love letter and listen. You say he died on Calvary. Yes, but he rose and he lives forevermore. And I can talk personally to the author of the love letter. And you know what he says when I go before him troubled with a broken heart? He says, I love you. And he wraps his arms around me and he speaks peace to me. And there's no greater feeling than to know you're loved by the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Some of you didn't like it. Let me lay this on you. You know, the only way that everybody will get along in Washington, they all need a good dose of salvation.
Amen.
Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all of them.
Amen.
You know the only way there'll ever be peace in the Middle East? When they all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how. Love letter. Yeah, somebody loves you. And you don't have to go on Tinder. You don't have to go on Match.com. You don't have to go to the bar. All you have to do is go to your knees. And open up your love letter. And you'll find exactly the person that loves you. Let me just say this and I'll be done. Some of you are in this same position. I go to my mom's every Sunday before I come here. And she talks about what's going on with my sister. She talks about what's going on the news that she saw. And before I leave, she talks about my dad. He's been gone for 3.5 years or so. And she talks about the life that they had. And she talks about how they struggled and how much love that they had for one another. And he's gone. He's gone. He can't tell her he loves her anymore. He can't take his hand and put it in her hand anymore. But I can tell you this. There's one that loves her even more than J.D. Strange ever did. He's still around. His love ain't changed ever since she said, "Jesus, save me," in the front seat of a Corvair in Jude Cameron's front yard. She found somebody that would never leave her. Death may claim her mate, but we still got the author of the love letter that'll be with us all the way, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
Young folks, I know we got teenagers here. You may have had boyfriends, girlfriends. Let me tell you something. Put the author of that love letter first and everything else will fall into place.
Right.
Put him first in your life. Make him first. Talk to him every day. And I'm not saying just go through the motion and make a multitude of words and go through a form and a fashion. Ease off. It's just you and him. And then you get down and you tell him how much you love him and see if he won't talk back to you.
That's right.
Let me say this. It's still early. Let me say this. When I started dating Tammy Hall, I had a job and I would go to work. And as soon as I got off work, I'd get in that car and I'd drive from Del Rio, Tennessee to the east end of Morristown. And I would stay until her daddy got home. He worked evenings. He'd get home around 11. And I didn't even think twice about it. I had to go see that girl. I loved her.
Amen, man.
He sent you a love letter. Do you love him?
Yes. Amen, I do.
Don't you just love being in his presence?
Amen.
Don't you just love feeling him wrap his arms around you? Don't you just love feeling his spirit move on the inside, that wheel inside of a wheel turning, that fire that shut up inside your bones? Don't you just love being near him? I preached being at the feet of Jesus this morning.
Amen.
You know who did that? The folks that love him.
Amen.
So after about 18 months of being at the Hall residence, from around 4:30 to 11 every weekday night, Saturday and Sunday, me and that little girl got married. And you know what I do every day? At 3:30, I get in the car and I go to 3020 Oliver Street because I know at 3:45 she will be there. I think it's funny. All this technology we got. When I get in the car, you've seen that Apple phone. When I get in the car, it syncs up. I've got Apple CarPlay. It tells me where I'm going. Mm-hmm. It pulls up the map, and it says Dumplin, near Dumplin Valley Road. It'll say that every day this week. And when I get in the car, about 5:50, 6 o'clock, 6:15 on a Wednesday, it says Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church. When I get in the car, I got in the car this morning, and it said Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church. You see, iPhone can't think for itself. It don't have a brain. It don't have a heart. It don't know what love is. But it recognizes where I'm going.
Amen.
It recognizes there's something special over here at 1084 North Highway 25E that I've got to get to every Wednesday and every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. He loves us. Does everybody around us know we love him? Do your neighbors know? When Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night rolls around, can they tell you love Jesus? How about on a Tuesday afternoon? Fellas, has this ever been you? Saturday, you get out and you're working on something. And when things don't go just right, when the wrench slips and I bust them knuckles, when I think I've got it, and I turn it on and it sizzles and you see smoke or water goes everywhere, and I'm frustrated as frustrated can be, do my neighbors know that I love the Lord? There have been some times they've wondered on me, I'm sure. Ladies, when that husband has got on your last nerve, do your neighbors know that you love this fellow that left you the love letter? You see, friend, God is love. And it doesn't matter how many programs we have. It doesn't matter how many special services with special singers or special speakers. If my children and your children know Jesus, we have to love them. We got to love them then. The only way we'll get them from the pew to the altar is to show them the fellow that wrote this love letter. Let me say this and I'll hush, I'm sure. You know, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter who you are. The author of this love letter loves Mike. But he also loves Willard. He also loves this gentleman right here. He also loves Ed.
Amen.
He also loves Ray John. Yeah. He loves the church.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter who you are, Jesus loves you. I've heard it sung. One of the best lessons I ever learned. I went to UT. I heard lots of folks speak with lots of letters after their name, things like that. The greatest lesson I ever learned, a little humble Sunday school teacher named Pat Cody over at Rankin,
amen,
taught me that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
What a novel concept. What a wonderful thought that a Savior would love a sinner like me and write me a love letter. Now, do you know folks have treated his love letter just like some of them little girls treated mine? They've rejected him. They've turned him away. You know what? He still loves them. He still loves them. He's just waiting on them to call. He's waiting on them to ask. It's that simple. Don't get down and out. I work with teenagers every day. They get so confused. And it's so bad, and their families have strayed so far from God that they think they're boys and they should be girls, and they're girls and they should be boys. And they put on makeup, and they take off makeup, and they put on blue jeans, and you name it. They're so confused. You know what they need to know? They need to know that somebody wrote them a love letter.
Amen.
They need to know that somebody loves them.
Amen.
That somebody cares, but their heart is broken. That somebody stands willing and ready to love them and forgive them if they'll just call.
Yes.
Here's the problem. Sin has such a grip on them, they don't want to let go. That's what it is. And I've heard folks say, well, a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. He doesn't. And yes, he loves everybody, but he absolutely hates my sin. He absolutely hates our sin. It's a stink. You may love me, but if I've been outside working all day, and there's been a few days that we've had in the fall before the pageant, when I got in the car to go home, I wasn't the freshest. And you may love me, but you'd love me from a distance on a day like that. But you see, it don't matter what kind of shape I'm in, how nasty I am from sin. The author of this love letter still loves me. And he loves you too. He loves you. He just wants you to clean yourself up. And he's willing to do that for you. I heard today somebody had made the remark how that they had to get things fixed in their life before they could get to the Lord. You don't have to do that. All you've got to do is come to him just like you are, and he will do the cleaning. He will clean you up. He'll change you from the inside out if you'll just love him and trust him. You're going to think this is stupid. You got your love letter?
Amen.
Let's see it. Hold it close to you. Love it up. You love. Have I convinced you that the Lord loves you?
Amen.
Now, you hold him and love him as much as he loves you.
Amen.
And you know what? Tomorrow will be Monday, and he'll still love me.
Mm-hmm.
But will I be holding him as close as he holds me? Will I be loving him as much as he loves me? You know what's in this book? Hope. You know what's in this book? Joy. You know what's in this book? Peace. You know what's in this book? Love. It's all about you and how much he loves you. Now, I would dare say
I don't know. There may have been a time when you and your wife were dating before you were married, but you scribbled down a little something and gave it to her. Or she gave you a little piece of paper, and at the bottom of that piece of paper it said, I love you. And you might have laid that up somewhere. You let somebody come through the house and find that and go to ripping it up, you might get a little bit upset. But yet, and I don't pick that up again until the next time I go to church. How much do I love him? We know he loves us. He left us a letter. How much do we love him? Does a letter mean anything to us? Is it special to us? How about you?
Love letter.